Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, we're rolling out the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did pop up over there this morning. So get yourself over there, take a look at it, check it out. Well, leave a comment, whatever you feel like doing. Of course, when you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, with three E's.
Oh, all right. You know, Dan, I mean, we're not what you would call huge college sports fans, or I guess to even make it better, college sports fans at all would be the way to look at it. But have you heard or seen or listened to anything about the players? It's been the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. Like the Big Ten are calling theirs a unity group. They're putting demands together for the conference before they will play their games. Have you heard or looked into that? And just kind of off the top of what I told you, how do you feel about that? Because I kind of thought that was called extortion, but maybe that's just me.
Well, you know, that was kind of one of the things that I didn't understand scrolling through my favorite search engine thing, because you get points at Bing, and last Christmas I was able to get my wife a Ninja Foodie Deluxe for free, along with a few other things. Shameless plug, but no, you know, I saw an article, and one of the coaches, like, this is not a good thing or whatever. And I just didn't really understand what was going on. I didn't really read into it much because I'm like, unity group, what the hell is he talking about? Now that makes a little bit more sense. But as opposed to demands, I mean, what does the unity group stand for and what kind of demands are they looking for?
Yeah, well, apparently what it was kind of explained to me is apparently they're not only looking to get the players paid, which has been a contention in college football for college sports for who knows how long, but the majority of this is based around college football. But I guess they're allegedly for player safety with the with obviously all the COVID-19 stuff going around. I didn't hear too much about it after they started talking about money because, as you know, Dan, and I know, and probably everybody who's listening to this podcast knows, the only thing that really matters in sports is money. So that's kind of what this boiled down to. But, what I couldn't figure out, Dan, and I've never been a big believer in these guys getting paid because they get a scholarship. And I understand that they're not really students anymore. You know, when I actually used to watch college sports, they were student athletes. Now there's no longer any student to that, even though the NCAA will try to sell that to you. So, you know, here's my thinking, Dan, they want to strike, they want to call it whatever they want to do it. That's great. Well, let me take your scholarship away and you pay to go to class then. And let's see how that works out for you.
I mean, as far as my understanding, I could be wrong. You know, the ride is full. You know, the ride doesn't include just your education. It includes your books, your room and board, and your meals. Granted, you know, they're not providing you that disposable income to go order Domino's or, you know, whatever your friends are doing, and nor should they be, the school, be providing you with money to get into the fraternity party, front door cover charge, because, yeah. You know, unless you're 21, you shouldn't be drinking anyways, but we know how that works. It's not why you go away to college. You don't go away to college just to learn. You take in that whole experience. But, you know, on top of that, especially the football players, you've got to imagine that when they wake up in the morning and go for breakfast, they're not getting a bagel and, you know, a couple of things of jam. You want to take care of these kids, keep them in tip-top shape. So I would assume that someone who's getting a different kind of scholarship, they're getting fed a hell of a lot better than, you know, you and I would. If we got a scholarship, we'd still have to pay for our meals. So kind of going that route, I mean, you know, are they taking any of that into accountability, what they're being provided? Because, you know, like you said, you want to join that group. I mean, let's be honest. We don't even know if the NFL is going to play or how long or when they're going to start, any of that. And, you know, you look here, you know, you and I are both considerable amount of space away from Chicago, but the city of Chicago, the mayor just got rid of any hybrid plan for elementary school, and it's all online. So, you know, you can see why the Chicago School District would have to stop paying the Chicago Police Department to monitor and police other schools, because no one's going to be going there, and they need the money to supply the kids with, make sure they have the internet and all the stuff that they need to go to school. So you look at the third largest market in the country. Granted, you know, I'm sure some of these colleges make as much money as a city would with everything that goes in with it. But, you know, as far as it comes to pay, you know, what are they really needing money for? Especially with COVID, they don't really need to be going anywhere.
Well, here's the statement from the Pac-12 group that they put out, Dan. And what they are stating is that NCAA sports exploits college athletes physically, emotionally, and academically, and also harm black college athletes. So what they're saying is they demand to receive safety precautions for ongoing coronavirus pandemic, adequate testing for the virus, medical insurance for 6 years after eligibility ends, the ability to make money off their name, images, and likenesses, and 50% of each sport's total conference revenue evenly among athletes in their respective sport. So basically, Dan, what they're using is they're using a global pandemic to get greedy is what they're doing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. And I get that the mainstream media is all on the college football player's side because, oh, my God, the NCAA makes so much money and these kids get nothing from it. You know, Dan, they don't have to go. You know, you're not forced to go play college athletics. All right,
no,
kids
but,
use college athletics as a way to get out of whatever their situation is, right?
Yeah, but, you know, right here, what I'm looking at, they already get a stipend. So, I mean, technically getting paid to play. But that's been my biggest complaint and why I don't agree with the NCAA. It's a bullshit organization that all it does is make money off these kids and these schools. So what? Because they write some guidelines and you got a bunch of guys in suits sitting in a boardroom that dictate everything and, oh, this is okay. But they also, at the same time, I'm sorry, but my head doesn't belong way the hell up my ass into my intestines all the way, you know, into my rib cage, where I can believe that they were unaware of all of the other stuff that was going on. Just like, you know, Major League Baseball and Rob Selig, Bud Selig, had no clue about, you know, what Mark McGwire and company were doing to enhance their bodies and, you know, bring fans back to baseball. They knew. They knew. They just, you know, didn't really care too much about it because they needed to get the game back in. And, you know, I don't disagree with them. I mean, at the same time, I don't understand the point, the purpose of the NCAA. What, so you organize a trophy and you organize a couple tournaments out of the year? It's like a, you know, I'm hoping this kind of goes forward because then we'll see the NCAA completely panic and most likely be disbanded. And all this stuff should be run through the college local, you know, through the colleges.
Well, the NCAA used to be a bigger, more meaningful governing body. What happened, Dan, is we got power schools, you know, and you've got these mega schools, you know, like the Alabamas in football or the Dukes in basketball, where they're going to do whatever they want to do no matter what the NCAA says. And now the NCAA can't have any effect on these kind of schools because these are the schools that run their respective leagues or sport or whatever you look for. And slowly but surely that has eroded away the NCAA's power. In reality, they don't mean much anymore. You know, I mean, even if, like, if they were to come to my school and say, yeah, we're going to suspend you for this, I would throw them out. I'd be like, get lost. You guys are, you know, you guys don't mean anything to me. But yeah, I'm just, you know, and I mean, if you want to pay the players, pay them, but they're no longer amateurs and they have to understand that.
Yeah.
You know, because
I
want to hear some, you know, I don't want to hear some swimmer or basketball player or field hockey player down the road start crying that they can't compete in the Olympics because they took money in college. You know, that's the thing I don't want to deal with, you know, because, I mean, they had a hard enough time with the wide receiver from Colorado. You know, he was a professional football player and an amateur snowboarder, and the Olympic Committee actually ruled against him, saying he was a professional athlete and couldn't compete in the Olympics. And I think he may have actually finally won the right to compete. I don't remember off the top of my head. But, you know, I just, you know, it's going to be one thing to another with this. You know, it's going to be like, okay, well, you got paid to go to college. Well, now I want to be an Olympian and I can't. Well, whose fault is that? You know, and I mean, I'm just to the point where I am fed up with, you know, what is the youth of today demanding literally everything, but not wanting to work for it. You know, and I'm the laziest person I know, but these people are worse than I am. It's like, give me, give me, give me, but I'm not going to do anything to get this. You know, I want to play football, but I'm not going to go to class. Well, I'm an athlete. I don't have to. You know, just draft me and start paying me to play professional football. You know, that should be, I deserve that. Well, why do you deserve it? You know, I mean, you're going to put somebody on the hook for 6 years of medical insurance after they graduate college or after their eligibility expires? Isn't that why you go get a job?
Yeah, I definitely don't agree with, because, I mean, go get that from the NFL.
You know, and I mean, do you honestly think that a college is going to take the risk of not adequately testing their athletes because – I would rather test an athlete than be sued for not testing an athlete and have somebody get sick. You know, because you know that's the first thing somebody's going to do is get a lawyer, you know, because that's what we do in this society. We don't do anything else. You don't even call the ambulance first. You call your lawyer, then the ambulance. So, you know, I mean, it's just a little, you know, a little ridiculous. And, you know, they already won a lawsuit in California that they're going to be paid a percentage of, like, their likenesses being used by, I believe it's EA Sports or whoever makes the game. You know, the NCAA is going to be, you know, they're going to be paying them for that. You know, I mean, let's be done with the whole thing, Dan, and let's just eliminate the college scholarship. Let kids go to school wherever they want, but pay your way through. If you want to play sports, you can play sports. If you don't, go get an education. But this is just to a ridiculous level now where, you know, it's just, you know, give me more and give me more. I mean, eventually, you know, the kettle's going to run dry, you know, and we're going to kill sports off. And then what is everybody going to do? Oh, well, it's your fault. Well, no, it was your fault.
Yeah, but, I mean, when it comes to the likeness, let's go back. Let's circle back to Johnny Football. When he was in college, and this is where a lot of this started, or not started, but, you know, kind of came out in the light. You remember everyone wanted to get a Manziel jersey for, I forgot, you know, whatever Texas team he played for. But, you know, with the way the NCAA or college or, you know, the brands, however they worked it out, you cannot sell a Johnny Manziel jersey. So what did they do? They put a number 2 on the back of that jersey and they put football on it, which everybody knew at that time who the hell they were referring to, Johnny Football. And, you know, obviously I don't think he came out or, you know, anyone in his camp came out complaining about it, but, you know, his parents have money and they're working their own thing out, so they could probably make more money on their own doing something, but that's besides the point. At that point, you know, if Johnny Manziel were a, you know, poor white kid from, you know, some podunk town in southern whatever, you know, where his parents are, you know, still selling, you know, oranges and pushing carts collecting, you know, recyclables to make money, the NCAA and the governing bodies in the school would be making all these, well, not even them, more so the retailer, would be making all this money off of the jersey that's basically him, not him. And on top of that, he would be included in the next, you know, the next round of NCAA, whatever the football game is called, like you said, through EA Sports. And a lot of people buy those games because of those kids. And they're receiving, you know, their name's not on there. Their picture's not on there. You know, none of that's on there. So they're pretty much receiving nothing, even though it's them. You know what I mean? It's like when you buy an item from China, let's just go with the North Face, and you get it, and you're wondering what the hell's wrong with it. And, well, it's because, you know, the F is backwards or something, because they have no they don't really enforce any laws about there. So you can counterfeit things all you want. You know what I mean? So it's kind of in that same realm, don't you think?
Yeah, well, except for Johnny Manziel's parents were loaded, you know. So.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. You know my level of knowledge for football to begin with, and you know my absolute no level of knowledge for college sports or, you know, any of how that works with all that. So that's kind of why I picked him, because he's, for me, the most recognized, the one that I remember the most, because there was so much behind him. And, you know, unfortunately, Johnny Manziel, and I was like Mitchell Trubisky here. You know, he was the hottest thing, and Manziel was the hottest thing in college to happen. And then he got in the game, and he made a stupid mistake, and then everyone just trashes him. You know, Mitchell was the opposite.
Yeah,
everyone trashed
him,
and then he was the savior.
You know, and there are a lot of, you know, a lot of these people come from, you know, low-income, you know, families and stuff. You know, they're doing this to help out their family or get them out of the situation. But, you know, it's just to the point where, again, it's, you know, it's just so ridiculous. I mean, you're a college athlete, and I'm just really sick of hearing about it. you know, and maybe it's just jealousy because I didn't get to do that and I really wanted to. You know, so maybe that plays into it, you know, that I didn't get to go to UFC or wherever, you know, and be the big football hero. And, you know, I wouldn't have cried about not getting any money because it, you know, it wouldn't have mattered to me. But yeah, it's just weird how, you know, everything in society has become monetary, no matter what it is, you know, no matter what you do or how you do it, you know, everything has a dollar figure attached to it. You know, and when does it stop? You know, when do we start doing things because we want to do them or, you know, we love to do them? I mean, you go to work because you need the money. You know, basically playing college football is almost like an internship, you know, and internships are unpaid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but the problem with it being unpaid, though, I don't know, is the amount of money they make off of them. You know,
right.
Don't get me wrong. As
well,
an intern,
I don't have a problem if they get some of that money. It's just some of these other demands that are just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I guess if you looked at that list again, can we divide that up and, you know, kind of take a look? I mean, let's be honest, 6 years of health insurance post, what does that mean? Because I didn't hear post-graduation. I don't know what that means.
No, when the athletic eligibility expires.
Okay.
So, if a kid leaves school before, you know, any early for a draft or something, he still has eligibility remaining. So that medical, like if say he left as a junior, he had 1 year of eligibility left, that insurance would kick in that next year and he would be covered for the next 6 years.
I mean, is that, do you even get insurance in college?
No, you know, I mean, the school has insurance. You know, I mean, these guys who have to have, you know, knee surgery or whatever kind of surgery you need, you know, they're not paying for it. The college is paying for it. You know, the college has insurance that pays that. You know, they're just, for whatever reason, looking for something after they leave school.
I mean, so when because some of these things you could look at from the sports end of it, and I think that's how you'd want to look at it. But when you're explaining this insurance to me, I mean, eligibility or not, this doesn't seem to be something that only the player should benefit from. You know, when my daughter goes to college in 15, 16 years, I hope I'm still alive, does that mean I'll still be working, she'll be covered on my insurance, right? Unless my wife is still working too, and we have two insurance, but whatever. It would be under me because insurance, the way it works is my birthday comes first, not by year, but by month in the year. So my daughter's on my insurance. My wife is secondary. So when all that works out and my daughter's 18 and I hope she gets some kind of scholarship, or, you know, I have to get another job so I can pay for her college. That means I can remove her from my health insurance and she would go on the school for the 4 years that she's there. And then, you know, I mean, eligible or not, she's a student, so she should be eligible. And she would get insurance for the next 6 years. So by then, you know, Obama and his administration put in that law that you are on your parents' insurance till you're 26. So then, I mean, this sounds great to me, Big Jack. I don't know how much this would increase tuition, but, you know, I just, cut down my insurance payment for, you know, insurance for our health insurance and not having to pay for my daughter
right.
anymore. So, I mean, do you see where I'm going with that? I mean, I get it. Some of these are great things and, you know, maybe they should be, but then some of them are not just sports related and should be provided to the entire school, not just the guys that, you know, came here to play sports. It's not their job.
Yeah, it's turning into a slippery slope. What may be the biggest thing here, and depending, of course, on how this gets handled, because none of the conferences have agreed to any of this yet, and I would be interested to see how they would handle, you know, a walkout, as the players are calling it, because they said not only are the scholarship players willing to walk, but the walk-ons as well are willing to, you know, to skip the season or whatever they're planning on doing. So I would be interested to see how that, how that shook out and what they decided to do. Because, like I said, I mean, you're there on a scholarship to play football. My guess is if you don't want to play football, you probably don't have a scholarship. So are you going to go home?
I guess I didn't even think of that. No, they didn't either.
Because they're not going to go to class. And the Pac-12 or Big Ten or whatever conference that you're in. That may be their only rebuttal is, okay, well, great. You know, we'll do this for you, but if you fail this, you know, then you're out. And I mean, I know they won't do that because if you have talent, they're going to play you. You know, again, that's the only other thing that matters. You could, in the case of a la Derrick Rose, get somebody else to take your ACTs and your SATs, go play your 1 year of college basketball and then leave because you know you're an NBA talent. And that's all the college is going to care about is that you have talent. So, that's the other negative here is, that's a fantastic lesson to teach people is all you need is talent. You don't need anything else. You don't need to study. You don't need to, you don't have to be a good person. You don't have to be anything. You just have to be talented.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, all you need is money to get in the boardroom. When it comes to the NBA, I think you kind of corrected me on why they did it that way to kind of help boost the NCAA game. But I mean, I'm all for kids coming right out of high school, going to the NBA. I mean, some of them, they're built as big as these guys. They just don't have the experience. And, I mean, if they're that damn good to play in the pros at 18, how can you stop them from taking that opportunity?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to, the NBA, the NHL, and even Major League Baseball, you can walk into these sports right out of high school with no problem. And you can be a good player. Football's a different beast. I mean, if you just graduate high school, you're 19, you're not really physically mature. Imagine lining up against some of those guys that are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and, just 350-pound powerhouses. These guys could pull airplanes if they had to, and you're some 19-year-old doofus standing out there in front of them. You're dead. Just bottom line. I mean, you talk about somebody getting destroyed. That's the definition of it. So that's the one different animal when it comes to college sports that you know, that we really need the minor league program, NCAA program, however you want to describe it. You know, and maybe that's the answer to this all, Dan. We need a minor league NFL.
Yeah.
You know,
D-League?
You know, literally like baseball has. You need each team to have a minor league team. You know, and you wouldn't have to stock it with 50 guys or whatever. You know, you could stock it with, you know, say 35 or 40, you know, something to that effect. You know, and that's where you start it. You draft these kids out of high school, and you put them in your program, or you sign them like the baseball does, like free agents, and you lead them through your system. When you feel they're good enough to make the NFL team, you bring them up. But, yeah, I mean, you need, you know, they need, you know, something to this effect. And, you know, and I know the sports have always worked hand in hand with the NCAA. You know, it's time to let that go. You know, because I'm in agreement with you. I think the NCAA needs to go away. You know, I don't think it would be good for college sports if they did, but it's, you know, it's time for them to go. And to be honest, Dan, I don't really care what happens to college sports. So let it go. Let's take it from there. So. Oh, but all right, Dan, there was some fun news more up our alley that you and I know a little bit about. Your guy Joe Maddon came out today, and he said that good old Shohei Ohtani will not pitch the rest of the year. He has the strain of what is the flexor pronator mass, is what they described it as. He's sidelined from throwing from 4 to 6 weeks. So the Angels are just going to shut him down for the year because basically that is the year in this kind of season. There are no restrictions on him DHing, Dan. So... this was the guy, Dan, we were promised a great two-way player. And if you remember after his first couple weeks in baseball, they had given him the Rookie of the Year, which he did win, even though he didn't deserve it, the MVP and the Cy Young Award, all after just very, very short outings. But, you know, he was the guy. He was going to win it. You know, he was going to win it all. He was going to lead us to the promised land. You know, and it was going to be a new day in baseball. We were going to have all these two-way players. And, you know, I mean, he's about an average hitter, Dan. I mean, he hits .286. You know, he hit 22 homers 1 year, 18 the next. So, he's right there. Dan, this stud who was going to lead us to the promised land has made 12 starts as a pitcher in 3 years, or no, 4 years now. That doesn't scream two-way player to me, Dan. I don't know about you.
Not at all. And, you know, I don't know if we actually talked about this or I was just tweeting this back and forth with you. I don't see him on the pitcher's mound in 2 years. So they're going to do this, try the experiment again next year. And by the end of next year, I don't think he's going to be pitching it anymore. And I mean, let's be honest.
No,
we give Joe a lot of crap, but I think he'd be the one who's like, no, I'm done with it.
Well, you know, like this year, they catered to him this year. You know, he was only going to start on Sundays because that's how they do it in Japan. You know, Dan and I have talked about this before. When you're a starting pitcher in Japan, you get a day, and that's your day to start. And you start that day every week. So the Angels were going to do that with Ohtani. He was going to start every Sunday. Dan, he made it 2 starts and an inning and 2/3 before he got hurt again. You know, after only making 10 starts in 2018, he didn't pitch all last year because of injury, and now he's done after two starts in 2020. You've got to give this up, right? I mean, you can't, you know, one of these times he's going to get hurt as a pitcher and not be able to hit, where he at least provides some value for this team, right?
Yes. And that's kind of where I'm seeing it. I mean, I don't think he's as good of a hitter as he can be. I don't know if it's just the adjustment to the game, but the time off. And while I think it would be phenomenal if he could be that two-way player. But, I mean, I think we'd have to do more research and look into what the Japanese league is like and the play and all that. But I would think this is, you know, from what I understand, this game is a lot more taxing. And I don't know if it's possible to do both. I mean, everyone we've seen that's tried, just it blows up and doesn't continue. And then, you know, but it doesn't stop a pitcher from switching into a fielding position or a fielder to turn into a pitcher. So, I mean, but it's just saying, I don't think it could be done at both times.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a reason why guys don't do this. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. You know, it's not easy to do. That's why it's not really done. And you see it, you know, a little more with relievers. Like, I know, you know, Michael Lorenzen has had a little success with the Reds doing it, but he didn't do it as much as Ohtani did. You know, I believe it was the Padres who tried it with Christian Bethencourt because he had a fantastic arm. The problem, of course, was he couldn't throw strikes. So he was throwing like 96 plus and couldn't find the strike zone, which isn't good for anybody, the batter, the pitcher, the team, nobody. So, yeah, I mean, I, and with the way baseball is, and like you and I have talked about it when it comes to pitchers hitting, baseball has refined pitching as such a science that nothing else matters except pitching. You know, these guys don't work on hitting. They don't work on bunting, even though that used to be a major thing for them, was a pitcher needed to know how to bunt. You know, you've seen pitchers run the bases, and they look like clowns, even though they're professional athletes. You know, there's guys who go out there and look like they've never run the bases in their life. And, again, I'll say it again, normally when you go back to their high school team or their Legion team or their little league team, they were the best player on it. And when they didn't pitch, they played short or third or center, or they caught. So they used to be athletes until someone decided in the minor leagues that you are a pitcher, all you're going to do is pitch, and nothing else matters. And I just don't know, with the intensity at the major league level and everything that's on the line, if a guy can do both and be what would be considered successful at both. You know, it's pretty clear now to me that Ohtani needs to decide if he's a pitcher or he's a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no more blurred line there. Maybe he could be one of those guys who comes in and throws an inning of relief here or there, but the starting pitching thing has to go away. It's just not working. So, you know, I mean, he's all at 26 years old, and, you know, he's had Tommy John. Now he's got this flexor tendon, whatever the hell they're calling it, strain. You know, what's next? But, yeah, I think it's got to be over. I really do. Do you think it has to be over?
Oh, totally. I think I just think he needs to be done pitching. It is what it is.
Right.
I mean, they tried it. You know, I think part of it, too, is he was signed for that two-way player. But, I mean, it's just not working out. So,
Right. Well, you know, we were promised the next Babe Ruth, except he was going to do both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously he wasn't going to hit 60 home runs, but we were promised, you know, this great power hitter and this lockdown pitcher. You know, and Dan, you know, even when he pitched and he did make those 10 starts, you know, I mean, he was good, but I wouldn't call him, you know, I mean, he was 4-2 with a 3.31 ERA in those 10 starts, you know, and it was only over 51 2/3 innings. So it's not like he was going out there throwing complete games. You know, he had a nice strikeout ratio. He struck out 63 guys, so that gave him the, 11 strikeout to 9 inning ratio, which is really good. You know, anything over 10 like that is, very good. But, you know, again, you know, he was 4-2. He wasn't winning any game, and he was only giving you a little over 5 innings of start. So yeah, that is that really that big of a loss if you just drop him out of the rotation and, you know, let him be an everyday player and maybe those numbers improve and, you know, he does become a 30 home run guy and maybe gets over 300, you know, with a little more playing time, wouldn't that be more positive for your team?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I hope they. You know, they crap this because, the Angels aren't off to a great start anyways. They're off to a 4-7 start, you know, and it's the A's and the Astros who got out to a decent start, 7-4, 6-4. So, you know, and in a season like this, you don't need to be dealing with, you know, all this BS. So, you know, let him hit and try to help your team that way. And hopefully this injury doesn't affect him swinging. They say it won't. So let's hope they're right. But yeah, I think this has got to come to an end. So,
and hopefully it does.
Yeah. Yay. So, but all right, Dan, tell me what this what the hell's going on with the Atlanta Braves? What I want to know. You know, they got off to a fantastic start. You know, they're 8-4 or something? Yeah, they're 8-4. They got out to a nice solid lead in their division. Technically, the Marlins are in second place because they're 3-1, which is kind of humorous to look at. But, you know, as you know, you and I talked a little bit about it. You know, they've decided Mike Foltynewicz was so bad that they waived him. Nobody else wanted him. He's actually back in their alternate training site working out to try to figure things out. In his last start, Mike Soroka, who's their number one guy, blows out an Achilles. So now he's done. So now you lose your number one starter and the guy you were looking at number five. I get that the Braves are loaded with all this talent and, they have all this great young pitching, but is this ship sinking here, Dan, with the injury and can we have a flame out or can they right this ship and kind of keep going?
I mean, would you say everyone's catching up to Acuna and Alvarez?
Yeah, you know, did I see today, and I might be wrong about this, but I thought I saw that they sent Albies down. I want to double check that, see if I can. Oh no, he went on the injury list. Okay, so yeah, Albies has a bone contusion in his right wrist, so they sent him, or they put him and Matt Adams on the 10-day because Adam strained a hammy run into first, but yeah, Acuna's starting to play a little better. He got off to a terrible start, but yeah, Albies is really struggling. He's hitting .159, and yeah, I guess you got to ask Dan, did the league catch up with them, and it's time for them to adjust?
You know, that and the delay, did that throw them off?
At least, you know, Dansby Swanson is finally playing like the guy, you know, we were promised when they traded for him. So, you know, we'll see how long that lasts. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you kind of look at their lineup and, you know, Freeman has struggled right out of the gate. Albies has been terrible. Enciarte has struggled. Acuna was bad. He's got his average up to 250. So he's really turned it around in, like, the last week, as weird as that is to say. But he was hitting about .120 last week. So, yeah, you know, and the odd part is they're still 8-4, even with all these struggles. And you just wonder if, you know, does it catch up to them, or, you know, can they continue to win with these guys kind of struggling?
Not with the Marlins staying on top right now.
Look at those Marlins. You know, they did get some good news. I guess Will Smith, their closer, is supposed to be back, I believe, by the weekend. He passed his COVID-19 stuff, and, you know, he's just waiting to be cleared. So he'll join a bullpen that's been really good. You know, Mark Melancon looks like Mark Melancon. In his three games, he hasn't given up a run. He's picked up 2 saves. So, you know, but you got to kind of start to – you know, look at the starting rotation without Soroka. Freed has been really good. He's 2-0 with a 2.04 ERA, but Newcomb's ERA is 8.22 and Kyle Wright's is 7.50. They ran Tuki Tassan out for a start. Now his ERA is 8.10. You know, they released your guy, Julius Chacin, because he was struggling. Are the starters going to sink them, Dan? I mean, even, you know, or maybe this plays into what you and I talked about. Can they get enough out of the starters and run a great bullpen out there to win?
Well, I mean, you could say that for a lot of teams.
You know, but I mean, you know, you look at this bullpen right now, Dan. I mentioned Melancon has no ERA. Josh Tomlin has no ERA. Luke Jackson is at 1.50. Grant Dayton is at 1.69. And A.J. Minter is the guy with the highest ERA in the bullpen at 1.93. You know, you throw in Darren O'Day, who's at 2.45. You're going to get Smith back, who's, you know, a closer. You know, can they live with a starter going 4 innings and then going, hey, get the bullpen? You know, can they continue to do that for what they played 12 games for 48 more games and win?
This year, yeah, I think you can do that.
So
next year, no.
You know, because if their starters don't come around, you know, they may not have an option. You know, that may be what they'll have to do. And I just wonder, you know, if it'll work. You know, unless you got another idea for them.
I'm thinking.
So, but yeah, it's just been kind of, you know, because, like, you know, like when you look at their numbers, minus the bullpen, you wouldn't go, oh yeah, they're 8-4. You'd be like, wow, this team looks like it's really struggling. But yeah, you know, you look and it's like, okay, I kind of see how this is working out for them. And to be fair, you know, they haven't played the best of teams yet. You know, I mean, the Mets have been scuffling a little. Tampa Bay's had its struggles, and now they're playing Toronto. You know, coming up, they do have, like, the Phillies and the Yankees, so that may be a bigger test. You know, obviously they're going to get back into their division, and, you know, that'll make things a little tougher for them. And, you know, maybe the Mets will come around. Even though, you know, look, yeah, they've beaten the Mets. They've played the Mets 6-7 times this year, and they've won 4 of them, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, they play them 6 times. They're 4-2 against the Mets. So, you know, just that always helps when you're winning your division games. So we'll, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I was just wondering if you thought that was sustainable for them, you know, with kind of, you know, kind of, I guess you would call it struggles they've kind of seemed to have. But, you know, they're winning, so it doesn't matter, right?
Whoa! Exactly. I mean, they're still winning. So, but, yeah, I think it's feasible this season. You know, I mean, we've seen the Brewers kind of burn out a couple of seasons ago. Or was that last season?
I think it was the last 2 seasons, actually. So, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those things. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, like I said, it just seemed really odd to me when I was looking at it because, you know, it was just like, man, how are they 8-4? And I guess maybe I just haven't watched enough of them or, you know, paid enough attention to them to kind of realize the bullpen was basically just dominant and, you know, they were killing teams. So have you watched any Braves games yet?
No, I haven't really caught up on any of the Braves. It's,
I'll
just kind of whatever time it is. And then I'm just picking a game, you know, me, since
yeah.
I can't watch the Cubs. Yeah. I've still been putting the radio broadcast on, but, you know, if they're not playing, it's the Giants or the Dodgers, you know, Yankees, Red Sox, because that'll be like 5 times this year.
I'll have to make a point to check that out. But, you know, it's interesting you stumbled into the Red Sox, Dan, because can you explain to me what happened to them and why? You know, I mean, normally it's Red Sox, Yankees, Red Sox, Yankees. All we talk about is Red Sox, Yankees. You know, obviously the Yankees are off to, like, the best start in baseball. The Red Sox aren't, and, man, nobody is talking about this team, Dan. What happened to the Red Sox, and why did they just go away where nobody talks about them?
It's the result of the big trade.
Which one?
You know, the Mookie Betts kind of doing. This is almost reminiscent of the last time they made a big swap with the Dodgers. You know, it seemed to work out for the Dodgers, and then not so much for the Red Sox. And then, you know, maybe they're taking over for the Giants. You know, 1 year they're hot, the next year they're just not.
Yeah, but they weren't really hot last year either.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, they won in 18, so.
Yeah, well, they're cheap, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, you know, like, I know they're off to a 3-8 start, but, you know, normally it doesn't matter because they're the Red Sox, and we talk about the Red Sox no matter what they are. And I shouldn't say we because Dan and I talk about everybody, but, you know, the national media, you know, they're always a team that, you know, gets a focus. And I really haven't heard much about them this year. Have you heard people talking about them at all?
Not really, but I don't really get the sports channels anymore. So.
Well, yeah, you know, you're just useless sometimes. They had the first series with the Yankees over the weekend and they got swept. You know, all the games, of course, were on TV. It was like the MLB Network, Fox, and then the Mickey Mouse Network. You know, they're on a 4-game losing streak. They got beat by Tampa Bay last night. So, I guess they'll try to bounce back tonight against Tampa. We'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I mean, it's odd. And, you know, and obviously, I mean, you know, they're missing, I guess, what you would consider your two best pitchers. You know, Chris Sale is out, and then Eduardo Rodriguez, who was really good for them last year, isn't going to pitch this year. So, you know, that's going to dig you into a hole. But even if the Red Sox were bad for years and the Yankees dominated under, you know, George Steinbrenner, the original George Steinbrenner, you still heard people talking about the Red Sox. But, you know, Dan, I don't hear anybody mention anything about them now. And it's just kind of weird to me that, you know, oh, yeah, there's still a team in Boston? Oh, yeah, how they doing? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, take a look at their team. Do you have their lineup in front of you? I mean, let's be honest. Some of that pizzazz was taken away. I can't believe I just said that word.
Yeah.
I just said that, didn't I? God, I'm getting old.
Yes, you did.
Mookie Betts, you know, was all the talk this extended off season, and he was moved to a team that's consistently good over the last almost 10 years. So, you know, that kind of plays into it. But, you know, I'm trying to think of this team and who really stands out as a Boston Red Sox. And, of course, you know, the first name that comes to my mind, well, first two names is Pedroia and Ortiz. And obviously, Ortiz is not playing anymore. But, you know, Babe Ruth, you think of the Yankees. When you think of David Ortiz, you're going to think of the Red Sox. There's a lot of guys that you and I know, you know, guys we've gone after for fantasy. Xander Bogaerts, been, you know, kind of watching him since he started back in, what, 12 or 13. And then, you know, Rafael Devers, probably said that, right? It's, you know, quality third baseman. He's young. He's a, you know, great kid to have on the team. You go to the outfield, you have J.D. Martinez, who I think doubles as a DH, but, you know, his big name was kind of getting that big contract after Arizona, and then I think that was the height of the, you know, the talk about J.D. So when you think about it, you know, while all these guys are recognizable to you, to you and I, I think that's what takes away from them talking about the Red Sox. I mean, go to their starting pitching. While Chris Dale's been a guy that you and I have watched since forever, being a White Sox, I think he's hurt because he's not on the active roster right now. That's one thing everyone always talks about is he doesn't get the respect he deserves. But he would be probably one of the key guys you go after in sight of, you know, popularity with the team because he's a starting pitcher. And like you said, he's out. So, I mean, just looking at this roster in front of me, I don't see a name that's really, truly, I don't even want to say it, not exciting, but where the name is just out there, where it might be a more national level name. Do you kind of get that too? Or, and I know it's hard because we're biased because it's like you and I look at it and we're like, oh, Xander. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Devers. JD. Kevin Pillar. But, you know, is that kind of where you're thinking too? Or did I run us out of time?
Well, yeah, you almost ran us out of time, which was good. I was kind of hoping you'd stretch it and I wouldn't have to answer. But, yeah, no, I guess I see your point. Maybe the casual fan doesn't know these guys. You know, I know they don't have a big lockdown closer, and I guess Nathan Eovaldi is your best starter right now. So, you know, maybe that kind of factors in. We can look into it tomorrow,
it's like
right?
That. Yeah, it's like that Homer Simpson gift. Red Sox fans just fading away into the bushes.
Get them all.